ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Canto 5, Chapter 12. Chapter 12 is entitled Rahugana Converses with Jada Bharat. We are on text 8. Yadakshita Veva Chara Charasya. Yadakshita Veva Chara Charasya. Pidamanishtham Prabhavam Chanityam. Vidamanishtham Prabhavam Chanityam. Tannamatonya Vyavahara Moolam. Tannamatonyadvyavaharamulam nirupyatam satkriyayanumeyam nirupyatam satkriyayanumeyam Yadakshitaveva Characharasya Vidamanishtham Prabhavam Chanityam Tannamatonyadvyavaharamulam Nirupyatam Satkriyayanumeyam Yadakshita Veva Characharasya Vidamanishtham Prabhavam Chanityam Tannamatonyadvyavaharamulam Nirupyatam Satkriyayanumeyam Yada, therefore, Chitau, in the earth, Eva, certainly, Characharasya, of different bodies, some moving and some not moving, Vidama, Vino, Nishtham, annihilation, Prabhavam, appearance, Cha, and regularly by the principles of nature.
Namataha.
Then simply by name.
Anyat. Other.
Vyavahara mulam. Cause of material activities. Nirupyatam. Let it be ascertained. Satkriyaya.
By actual employment.
Anumeyam.
To be inferred.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. All of us on the surface of the globe are living entities in different forms. Some of us are moving and some not moving. All of us come into existence, remain for some time and are annihilated when the body is again mingled with the earth. We are all simply different transformations of the earth. Different bodies and capacities are simply transformations of the earth that exist in name only. For everything grows out of the earth, and when everything is annihilated, it again mingles with the earth. In other words, we are but dust, and we shall but be dust. Everyone can consider this point. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that Ananyatvam Arabhambhavam Shabadiyam. This cosmic manifestation is a mixture of matter and spirit. But the cause is the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20, it is said, Idam hi Vishwam Bhagavan Vivetaraha. The entire cosmic manifestation is but a transformation of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of illusion, no one can appreciate that God is non-different from the material world. Actually, He is not different, but this material world is simply a transformation of His different energies. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaya Suryate. There are also other versions of this in the Vedas. Sarvam Khala Idam Brahma. Matter and spirit are all non-different from the Supreme Brahman, Bhagwan. Lord Sri Krishna confirms this statement in Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Me Bhinna Prakriti Ashtadha. The material energy is Krishna's energy, but it is separated from Him. The spiritual energy is also His energy, but it is not separated from Him. When the material energy is engaged in the service of the Supreme Spirit, so-called material energy is also transformed into spiritual energy. Just as an iron rod becomes fire when placed in contact with fire. When we can understand by an analytical study that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes, our knowledge is perfect. Simply understanding the transformations of different energies is partial knowledge. We must come to the ultimate cause. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnum. The knowledge of those who are not interested in knowing the original cause of all emanations is never perfect knowledge. There is nothing in the phenomenal world that is not produced by the supreme energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aromas from the earth are different scents manufactured. And used for different purposes. But the original cause is the earth, nothing else. A water pot made of earth can be used to carry water for some time. But ultimately the pot is nothing but earth. Therefore, there is no difference between the pot and its original ingredient, earth. It is simply a different transformation of the energy. Originally, the cause or primary ingredient is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the varieties are only byproducts. In the Chandogya Upanishad, it is stated, Yatha Somya Ekena Mrat Pindena Sarvam Grinmanyam Vignyatam Syat Vacharam Bhanam Vikaro Namadhyayam Mriti Keti Eva Satyam. If one studies the earth, he naturally understands the byproducts of the earth. The Vedas therefore enjoin Yasmin Vignate Sarvam Evam Vignatam Bhavati. If one simply understands the original cause, Krishna, the cause of all causes, then naturally everything else is understood, although it may be presented in different varieties. By understanding the original cause of different varieties, one can understand everything. If we understand Krishna, the original cause of everything, we do not need to separately study the subsidiary varieties. Therefore, from the very beginning it is said, Satyam Param Dhimahi. One has to concentrate one's understanding on the Supreme Truth, Krishna or Vasudeva. The word Vasudeva indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. Matsthani Sarva Bhutani Na Chaham Teshwa Avashthitaha. This is a summary of phenomenal and nominal philosophy. The phenomenal world depends on the nominal existence. Similarly, everything exists by virtue of the potency of the Supreme Lord, although due to our ignorance, the Supreme Lord is not perceived in everything. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Padamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vashalam Pangum Langdayate Dhirim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpa Tatujyascha Kripasindhu Yayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we can see over here the conversation between Rahugana and Dhadabharat is continuing. The last chapter was instructions of Dhadabharat. Even in the previous chapter, which was chapter 11, Dhadabharat gave quite a few instructions to Maharaj Rahugana. And in this chapter, Maharaj Rahugana expressed in the beginning of the chapter that your instructions have been very difficult for me to understand. So very humbly he presented himself in front of Dhadabharat. And he told him that, I am quite a materialist. Obviously, he is a king. So he said, I am covered by material energy. And therefore, it is very difficult for me to understand whatever instructions you gave me. Because chapter 11 was also quite technical, all the instructions which Dhadabharat was giving to Maharaj Rahugana. So he said, can you explain to me in simple terms? And that is when, again, Rahugana starts conversing. So the first four verses of this chapter are questions like which Rahugana is posing to Dhadabharat. And seeking clarification, the doubts which have arisen in his heart, he's seeking clarification on those doubts. And from the fifth verse, again Dhadabharat has started speaking, clarifying whatever he has already spoken in chapter 11 and reiterating a few more points. So one of the things which Dhadabharat is trying to do over here, because we know the pastime, we've been discussing this pastime since the last few chapters. Obviously Maharaj Rahugana was being carried on a palanquin. And Dhadabharat was, you know, they saw when this stout young man standing, so the palanquin carriers were falling short of one person and they called Dhadabharat to help. Now Dhadabharat saw some ants on the way and he did not want to step on those ants. So he was trying to circumvent them, like going around the ants, because of which obviously he was not in sync with the other palanquin carriers. And obviously the palanquin, you know, like Devamrit Maharaj was saying, Rahugana Maharaj was having a bumpy ride. Because Dhadabharat was carrying it like that. So then Maharaj Rahugana taunts Dhadabharat that, oh, are you fatigued? Like, you know, many taunting verses he gives. And then, you know, when Dhadabharat starts speaking, Rahugana realizes that this is no ordinary palanquin twin carrier, this is actually a self-realized soul. So it is, you know, that way Maharaj Rahugana is also great that he's actually now humbled himself from the position of the king and he's actually accepting Dhadabharat as his instructing spiritual master, and he's taking instructions from him. So one of the things that Dhadabharat is trying to cut of Maharaj Rahugana is his pride or his affiliation or identity as a king. Because of his identity as a king, he chastised Dhadabharat. Obviously, he said, I'm the king, I should be carried properly, you should be doing your duty perfectly. So that is why he had chastised, coming from that position of a king. And that is something which Dhadabharat is trying to remove from him, you know. Because when we come in this material world, we all acquire so many upadhis. We, you know, first of all, we acquire the upadhi of, you know, human form of life. On top of that, the upadhi we acquire is, I am a man, I am a woman, girl, boy, child, whatever. And then we also acquire other upadhis. I am, you know, project manager, I am this thing, I am advisor, I am a counselor. So many other upadhis we acquire in our life. I'm a pujari, I'm a teacher. Again, you know, those are spiritual upadhis, but that way so many upadhis we acquire in our life. And what happens is we become so attached to these upadhis that it's very difficult for us to then realize that I am not this upadhi, I'm not this body, but I'm the spirit soul. If we see, you know, even politicians, like once, you know, they get a seat, it's so hard. We saw the whole fiasco in US for, you know, about the president being so attached to his seat that he was not ready to give it up only, even though laudably he lost the election, but he was still not ready to give up. We become so attached to those upadhis that we acquire. So that is something with Dhadabharat, by instructing Maharaj Rahugana, he's instructing all of us, conditioned souls in this material world, that nothing, you might be, you know, somebody might be in the position of a king, the title of a king, and somebody might be the title of a palanquin carrier. But he's saying over here that for some time, all living beings, all of us come into existence, remain for some time and are annihilated when the body is again mingled with the earth. So he's trying to tell Maharaj Rahugana that you are nothing but a transformation of the earth, just as somebody else is transformation of the earth. Whether living thing, non-living thing, everything is a transformation of the earth and everything will return to dust. So he's first trying to shake up that identity inside Maharaj Rahugana. Because that once that identity or upadhi he has shed off, then Maharaj Rahugana will become more receptive to spiritual instructions. He will be able to receive those instructions in a way such that they transform his heart and he can action them. So that is the basic thing which Jadbharat is trying to do. And over here, Srila Prabhupada, you know, big purport Srila Prabhupada has written. So Prabhupada explains over here that all of this whole cosmic manifestation is a mixture of material and spiritual energy. And, you know, if the material energy is employed in the service of the spiritual energy or the Supreme Lord from whom the material energy has come, it also becomes spiritual. So this brings to mind a very nice pastime which Devamrit Maharaj shared with us when he gave the lecture on Sunday in the Gasworks Theater on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we know the famous pastime from Leela Mrita, where Srila Prabhupada wanted the impossible to become possible. He wanted the BBT to, you know, achieve some targets which were actually even, you know, from normal printing standpoint of view, it is difficult or it is impossible to achieve. So the BBT were actually translating, Maharaj was saying they were actually publishing one book of Srila Prabhupada every 4 months. And Prabhupada had kept all the volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita ready. He had already written or transcribed or whatever, all the volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. But the BBT was falling behind. They were not able to keep pace with this pure devotee who was writing like books after books he was giving for publishing. So then Prabhupada was not very happy. And when he was having a conversation, the devotees realized, especially in the BBT, the devotees realized that Prabhupada is not happy. So they said, okay, let's do one thing, let's, you know, double or quadruple our efforts. So they came and promised Srila Prabhupada that we will print, I think, one book every month or something like that. That's what they promised Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, that's not good enough. I want all the volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita to be published in the next 2 months. And obviously their jaws were wide open. They did not know what to say. Because they said, Prabhupada, this is impossible. How can we do this? You know, in 2 months we have to publish all the volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada, we know, he keeps saying impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. So Prabhupada said, no, I'm not going to accept anything lesser than that. I want these books ready, published in 2 months. And then Devamrit Maharaj was saying that, you know, when the devotees surrendered to this instruction of Srila Prabhupada, they made up their mind that yes, to please Srila Prabhupada, we'll have to make this impossible into possible. Maharaj was explaining that's when the spiritual energy descended on them. Like material time, according to material time considerations, it was not possible to do this. But this, you know, time is obviously Krishna's energy. So it, you know, it became, Krishna actually manifested that time into spiritual time and they were able to do it. And I was listening to, you know, now the strategic planning team, the SPT is conducting these various lectures on Chaitanya Charitamrita leading up to Gaur Purnima. Beautiful lectures by different speakers which the SPT has organized. So one of the lectures last week I think was given by Devamrit Maharaj only. So he did not mention it in this class, but you know, he was saying that he was part of that team, that BBT team, who were given the task of publishing all the volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita in 2 months. And he was the final proofreading editor. And he was saying that for almost 12 to 14 hours a day, he would sit and actually edit the Chaitanya Charitamrita before they are finally published. So such a great service. We have, you know, this walking sannyasi in front amidst us who has served Srila Prabhupada in such an intimate way, where they made the impossible possible. So that is what, you know, Prabhupada is saying over here, that when the material energy is engaged in the service of the Supreme Spirit, the so-called material energy is also transformed into spiritual energy. And Prabhupada gives the example of the iron rod put into fire. So that is a living example, you know, we see in this particular instance, where when the devotees surrendered, they were able to achieve the impossible because the spiritual energy, you know, Krishna expanded the time for them and they were able to publish all the volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita and they were able to please their spiritual master that way. So we see that Jadbharat is giving, you know, he's explaining in a very analytical way. This whole purport is very, translation and purport both are quite analytical. He is talking about the nature of the material world, And he is now starting to explain to Maharaj Rahugana the, you know, who is the creator. He is starting to explain the creation, different aspects of creation, and who is the creator and who is the cause of all causes. So Srila Prabhupada was once lecturing on the instructions of Jadabharat, and he was saying that whenever we see such sections in the Srimad Bhagavatam where, you know, the magnificence of this material world or magnificence of the Supreme Absolute Truth is described, Srila Prabhupada said that one of the purposes of talking about this whole magnificence of the material world is to make us realize, jivas, realize how insignificant we are in front of this whole cosmic manifestation. That is the purpose. Because sometimes we think, oh, we are too big. And you know, sometimes we think that I am so and so, I am so. Like, we all assume ourselves to be much bigger than what we actually are. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different from Krishna, it is making us realize our real position by showing us the magnificence of this world, of this cosmic manifestation. So in fact, you know, there is a very loving and humorous exchange which happens between Srila Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was, you know, obviously serving Srila Prabhupada in the Los Angeles temple. And there was some discussion which they had where, you know, Prabhupada wanted to show Tamal Krishna, he wanted him to do some service and he wanted him to show what our true position is in this world. So he explained to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, because I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj was the president and there was some conflict, somebody was not listening, people were not listening to him and doing their services and all that. So then Srila Prabhupada was telling him, and we see sometimes we have sent all these photos on WhatsApp and Facebook and all that, where, you know, we are shown the size of our galaxy, like the size of the earth as compared to the sun. And then we are shown the size of the sun as compared to other stars in this universe. And you know, that way we keep seeing, and ultimately when, you know, we see those photos, the sun actually becomes such a small, tiny, you know, insignificant ball in front of some of the huge stars which are there in this material universe. And the earth is just a speck of dust. So Srila Prabhupada started, you know, talking to Tamal Krishna Maharaj like that. He said that, you know, in this whole cosmic manifestation, this earth is a small speck of dust. On this small speck of dust, there is a small country called America. In this small country called America, there is a small city called Los Angeles, in which there is a small lane called Vatsika Avenue. That's where the temple was situated. In that small lane, there is one building, which is, you know, the temple, the Los Angeles temple. And in that little building, there is one temple president called Tamal Krishna. So that is how, you know, and you think you are big, that you cannot, you know, do some, I don't remember the context, but it was about some service. So Srila Prabhupada is a sadhu, obviously, and the duty of the sadhu is to cut the, you know, false ego and to cut our material attachment. So that is what Srila Prabhupada was trying to explain, how insignificant we are through this loving exchange with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So, you know, for example, when we stand in front of a huge mountain, when if we go somewhere out, we stand in front of a huge mountain, or even when we are standing in front of a tall building, we realize how insignificant we are, because, or when we have gone up by elevator on top of a tall building, then how little everything appears on the ground. That is how insignificant we are, and that's the realization we get only when we are in front of a huge entity in front of us. So when such descriptions are given, you know, like in the purport, Krishna is all addressed as the cause of all causes. Krishna is addressed that he is the cause of all causes. All the energies are coming from him. The material energy has also come from him, and the spiritual energy has also come from him. The only difference is the material energy is separated from Krishna and the spiritual energy is still attached to Krishna. But everything has come from Krishna only. And all these, you know, after coming from Krishna, there are these different manifestations, earth, water, fire, air, ether, everything. So once there was a sage who was performing austerities, sitting under a tree. And this sage was performing austerities with the motivation to fulfill some lots of desires he had. So he had decided that I will do austerities for years and years, and when the Lord appears in front of me, I have this long list. He had prepared a list and kept. I have this long list of desires which I will ask the Lord to fulfill. So with that view, he sat down and he started performing all his austerities. And he performed them for years and years, and actually, like, really good austerities he performed to achieve the darshan of the Lord. And the Lord was pleased, and the Lord gave him darshan after that. So when the Lord came, appeared in front of him, the Lord said, "What do you desire, son?" And the sage said that, "Oh, I have these, you know, I have quite a few desires, not one desire, which I want you to fulfill." So while the sage was just going to tell all his desires, suddenly the sun personified appeared over there, sun god. He appeared over there in front of the sage and Lord who was standing there, and he told the Lord, the sun god told the Lord, that, "My Lord, if you are going to fulfill any desires of this sage, I want a share of it." So the sage was surprised. He said, "Why the sun god has suddenly come to claim share?" So he said, why do you want a share of whatever the Lord gives me? I have performed these austerities." So the sun god told him that for so many years when you were performing austerities, I was the one who kept you nourished through my sunlight. I was the one, because of sunlight everything produces in this material world, so I was the one who was, you know, taking care of your nourishment, and that is why you were able to perform austerities. So that is why I deserve a share. So he said, okay, like the sage had to reconcile. And then the water personified appeared over there, the river that was there flowing next to the place where the sage was doing austerities. The river personified appeared, and the river personified said, "I also need a share, Lord, if you are going to give the sage anything." So again the sage said, "Why you? What happened? Why should I give you a share?" So the river personified said that, "It is I who was sustaining you while you were performing your austerities. Because you were able to take a bath in me, you were able to get drinking water from me, oblations that you used to pay during your austerities, all that I supplied for you. So obviously I also need a share of your any benedictions that the Lord might give you." And similarly, so many entities appeared over there. Air personified appeared over there. The tree under which the sage performed austerities also appeared. And he said, "I need a share because I gave you shade. I supplied you that home which you needed when you were doing austerities. You took shelter under me." So like that, so many different entities appeared to claim their share. And the Lord asked the sage finally, that, "Is it really you who performed these austerities?" So at that point in time, you know, the story is just to illustrate that at that point in time, the sage realized that actually we are nothing in this world. Even if we claim to have achieved something, like, you know, these big scientists, big industrialists, they claim that they have done this, they have built that. But unless the material, the ingredients are provided by nature, how will anyone construct or make anything in this world? So in the same way, when, you know, anything that we are performing, you know, we are drawing so much from different aspects of this material creation. From the sun, water, so many different aspects are helping us just in our sustenance. Daily sustenance. And that's what the sage realized, that actually I was utilizing these different manifestations of the Lord's energy, only then I was able to do my austerities. So he realized his insignificance. Otherwise he was thinking, "Oh, I've done austerities, because of me the Lord has appeared in front of me," you know, that ego was swelling. But then suddenly when all these personalities came, he realized that how insignificant he is and how insignificant his efforts are. He wouldn't have been able to do anything if all these people who came to claim shares would not have assisted him. So Krishna also reiterates this point in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, "Prakrite kriya manani gune karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma karta hamiti manyate." The Lord says that ahankara vimudhatma, because of false ego, a living entity is thinking that he is the doer, when actually everything is carried out by, you know, prakriti, by nature, everything is carried out. So that is the illusion which, you know, living entities normally are under. And the greater illusion which some living entities are under, where they are thinking that I am God. And these are, you know, Mayavadis, which again Prabhupada explains about in this purport. They are thinking I am God, and I am only, from me only everything is happening. It's just I have to realize that I am God. I am God, I am Brahman. So Prabhupada says that, you know, Mayavad is the last snare of Maya in this material world. So Prabhupada is pointing out the defect of Mayavadis who think that they are the doers. And he gives the example of a potter. So he says when a potter is making pots, so he is making that pot which has obviously come from clay or from earth, But even the wheel on which the pot is being made has also actually come from earth. And not only that, the man, potter himself has also come from earth. Like Jadbharat is saying in the translation over here, that everything moving and non-moving is different manifestations of this earth and everything will return to dust. So Prabhupada says that Mayavadis don't understand this at all. And Mayavadis say that, oh, I am Brahman, you are Brahman, we just have to realize that we are Brahman. So in fact, in Melbourne, there was a beautiful room conversation. When I was preparing for this class, I came across this conversation. There's a beautiful conversation which happened in here, Melbourne room of Srila Prabhupada. So there was a Maharshi, you know, the Maharshi Yogi, that sect, those Mayavadis, some of them had come to meet Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada kept challenging them. Prabhupada said that here we are 8 people sitting in this room. Like some devotees were there, Prabhupada was there, and some of these Mayavadis were there. So Prabhupada said, we are 8 people sitting in this room. How are you saying that we will all merge into one? So the Mayavadi, you know, he was getting a bit disturbed. He said that, no, we have to realize that. We have to realize that. You know how they talk of that at that, you know, macro level, they try to talk everything. They can't break it down into actionable items. So Prabhupada said, but what I will realize? I can see we are 8 people over here. You explain to me how 8 people will become, have merged into one. Where will the 8 people disappear then? And he said, no, that's only through realization. So he kept trying to say Prabhupada to Prabhupada like that. And you know, Prabhupada cutting as always, especially when it comes to Mayavadis. So Prabhupada said, even if you see these 5 fingers all are different shapes, size, everybody has their own function, own individuality. How these 5 fingers can merge into one? You explain to me. So again, he couldn't explain and he kept telling it only happens through realization. You have to, you know, do meditation, jnana yoga, whatever, and then only you'll be able to realize it. So then Srila Prabhupada explained this Mayavad, the oneness philosophy very nicely back to the Mayavadi only. Srila Prabhupada told him that if the interest is one, then everyone actually merge into oneness with that interest. So Prabhupada then explained to him, because the conversation was in Australia. He said that over here, you know, you are Australian, he's Australian, everybody is Australian. Why are they called as Australians? Because the interest is one, the alignment or the, you know, the thinking that we are all from this country, that is the interest, where the interest is one, and therefore everybody is called Australian, and that is called true merging, where you are merged with the interest of an Australian or the concept of an Australian, but still your individuality does not go away. That is what Srila Prabhupada was trying to explain. And many times Prabhupada gives the example of the green parrot when he explains this oneness. Prabhupada says that if there is a green parrot which flies into a green tree, it will merge, camouflage. It will camouflage into the tree and we might not be able to, from far away, decipher which is the tree and which is the parrot. But Prabhupada says that does not mean the individuality of the parrot is lost. So that is what Srila Prabhupada was trying to explain to him. That when the interest is one and everyone is aligned towards, you know, serving that one interest, that is called oneness. But the individuality of the person or the jiva is never lost. So that is, you know, Srila Prabhupada explained back to him why, what is oneness, what is true oneness, what is true Mayavad, Srila Prabhupada was explaining. So there was one more conversation which Prabhupada did on impersonalism during his morning walk in 1975 in Mayapur, where Srila Prabhupada quoted the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, 32nd verse. He said, Aruya Krichena Param Padam. So over there Srila Prabhupada was saying that, you know, and the translation also says that someone does great austerities or penances to achieve oneness with Brahman. They think themselves to be liberated because they have obviously gone out of this material world. But in the translation also it is said in that verse that they are less intelligent. Because what happens? They think they got so-called liberation, but they actually fall down from that position. And to make it simple for his disciples, when Srila Prabhupada would explain this Mayavad philosophy of what is merging into Brahman, Srila Prabhupada would always say that when somebody thinks they have merged, when they get liberation or they have merged into Brahman, they cannot stay there for long because there is no activity in Brahman. They get bored after some time and then they think, oh, why did I leave my family life and I come here? I came here to this Brahman. where, you know, I'm just bored. Okay, there is all Sukh Shanti, you know, spreading light and all that, but I'm just bored because I'm not able to do any activity. And the most important ingredient which is lacking over there is love. Because, you know, in Jaiva Dharma it is explained that the dharma is the intrinsic nature of a thing. Like, for example, the intrinsic nature of water is wetness and to flow, or liquidity. The intrinsic nature of sugar is sweetness. You cannot separate that from that thing. So in the same way, the dharma of a soul is always to serve and to love. But that is lacking in Brahman. So Prabhupada said that they get bored and they ultimately fall down. And some of them take up politics, some of them open big hospitals, they become big philanthropists. So all these things they take up when they again come back, because obviously they have so much energy from that Brahman. So they do achieve some big things in the world, but ultimately they are back into Abrahma Bhuvana Loka. They are back in the cycle of this material world of birth, disease, old age and death. So always there is, you know, Prabhupada explained nicely about this Brahman, but always there is this debate. Where has Brahman come from? Like Mayavadi say that Krishna is a manifestation of Brahman, and when it comes in contact with Maya, because that is why they are called as Mayavadis. Because Mayavadis means they think they are more, Maya is more powerful, is the most powerful rather. So it actually overpowers Brahman, and then it makes different transformations, and some of these transformations are Krishna, Rama, you, me. That is how they equate everything. Krishna, Rama, Yuni, all of us are different transformations of this Brahman. When Maya actually captures Brahman. So that is the, you know, concept which Mayavadis have. They do not realize that Brahman is actually nothing but the spiritual effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, again in the first and the third canto, this has been explained in great detail. Like how the spiritual sky is unending. It's the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord's body, Lord Krishna's body. And in one corner of the spiritual sky, there is a dark cloud, which is called as Pradhan. We were explaining this in our recent Bhakti Shastri class on Saturday, because 7th chapter, the last few verses are talking about impersonalism and how Krishna calls them as abuddhaya. They are men of very less intelligence who think that, you know, they can become one with this Brahman, or that, you know, Krishna is a manifestation of Brahman. Or Krishna is formless. That is what Krishna was explaining. So in the spiritual sky, there is a small dark cloud, which is Pradhan. And when Mahavishnu lies on the causal ocean, or the Viraja river, which is separating the spiritual world and the material world, he glances at this Pradhan, it gets activated, and it becomes Mahatattva. So Mahatattva is nothing but activated Pradhan. We won't go into too much details, but the conclusion is that everything is coming from Brahman, all these manifestations which are there in this material universe. So many millions of material universes are then generated from this Mahatattva. But the, you know, if we go keep going backwards, obviously it has come from Pradhan, which has come from Brahman, and the Brahman is actually the spiritual effulgence of Lord Krishna's body. That is where, you know, Mayavadis fail to go back and understand that particular aspect of the Lord. In fact, Prabhupada was explaining, again in the conversation, the Mayapur walk, morning walk, Prabhupada was explaining that there is a subtle difference, because one of the devotees asked him, the disciples asked him in the walk, that what is the difference between Brahmavadis and Mayavadis? So Prabhupada says that Brahmavadis are actually true transcendentalists, but Mayavadis are completely bogus, they are rascals. Like we know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, Mayavad Bhashya Sunile Hai Sarvanash. So, you know, so much, even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also used to smash Mayavadis, and following in his Guru Maharaj's footsteps, Prabhupada also, every purport, he would try to take that opportunity to smash Mayavad philosophy. So, true transcendentalists are the Brahmavadis, who actually, you know, are attracted to this, you know, Brahman effulgence of the Lord. Because they are seeking that, you know, Brahman is Sat Chit Ananda, and they are seeking that eternality and bliss. So they get attracted to this Brahman effulgence of the Lord, and that is what they aspire to go into. Like the Kumaras were the Brahmavadis before they became personalists. So that is true transcendence, because they have still not realized the personal aspect of the Lord. They are still attracted to the impersonal aspect, the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, and they achieve that, if that is their goal. So some of them fall down, like we discussed, who get bored over there, but some of them actually go inward. And when they meditate inward through Ashtanga Yoga, then they realize the Paramatma. So that is Paramatma realization, which is the localized realization of Lord Krishna. And when the Paramatma sees, because when they see the Paramatma, they become so attracted to the Paramatma form, because obviously it's Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu's form, beautiful blackish complexion, you know, four-handed form of Lord Krishna as Paramatma. So they become very attracted. And when they become attracted, they want to have a relationship with the Paramatma. But the Paramatma is a manifestation only in this material world. Paramatma is nobody else but Shiro Dakshai Vishnu. It's a manifestation only in this material world. Obviously, so to have a relationship with Paramatma, the Paramatma then guides this Jiva to then realize Bhagwan, the Bhagwan aspect of the Lord. So he becomes the Chaitya Guru for this Jiva, who is then seeking to develop relationship, do some service to this Paramatma. So through that, you know, then the Jiva realizes that, okay, there is Bhagwan aspect, and then they worship Bhagwan. So these are two true Brahmavadins who might go through this journey. But Prabhupada says, you know, we don't need to go through any journey. We can directly take up Bhakti Yoga and worship the personal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they think that they are, you know, Mayavadis are especially very envious. That is why Srila Prabhupada used to be very upset or very angry when any Mayavadis would present themselves. Because they are envious of the personal form of the Lord. They deny there is a personal form of the Lord because they themselves want to think they are God. In fact, there was one Mayavadi, you know, somebody was mentioning a joke. There was one Mayavadi who was visiting a temple, and that Mayavadi was being challenged by some of the people that how you can claim you are God. And he said, okay, then you are also God, okay? You are also God. You know, like how we tell children, you also have this. So he said, no, you are also God. No, I am not the only one who is God, you are also God. So, you know, this is how Mayavadis are. In fact, another Mayavadi had visited a temple, and he was, the devotees realized, oh my God, this is a Mayavadi. He was trying to preach his philosophy and all. And after some time, he wanted to actually answer nature's call. So he wanted to go to the bathroom. And then he asked, and the devotees decided, we won't tell him where the bathroom is. So he kept asking the devotees, can you show me where the bathroom is? And the devotees did not show him only. They kept engaging him in conversation or, you know, like distracting him and all that. After some time, the Mayavadi told the devotees, I'm bursting, please tell me where the bathroom is. So then, you know, mercifully they showed him the bathroom, okay, go. And then when he came back, the devotees challenged him. They said that you say you are God and you are not able to have control over the call of nature. Then what sort of God are you who has to run and answer call of nature? And obviously, as Mayavadis know how to slip out of all these situations, he said, no, this is just my leela, answering the call of nature. So, but this is how, you know, Mayavadis are. They think I am God, but they are not even able to control answering the call of the nature. That is the problem of these Mayavadis. In fact, you know, there is a famous song which these Mayavadis have. It's called Nirakar Tomara Charan Dekhi. So this is a famous song which they sing, Nirakar Tomara Charan Dekhi, Nirakar Tomara Charan Dekhi. They sing this song quite a bit. So when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present on this planet, this is before he had taken sannyas. He would wear a white dhoti kurta, and, you know, as a young brahmachari, he would take a bag on his shoulder and he would go for preaching to different colleges in Calcutta. He was, obviously, he was a very good orator, as we know, his English was really good. So he used to go and preach to the youth in these colleges, like we so nicely do in Melbourne Temple also, different university preaching programs. So like that, even Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj used to go. And at that time, Mayavad was so prevalent in Calcutta, especially because of the influence of Raja Ram Mohan Roy, Swami Vivekananda. There was a huge influence of all that. So most of the youth were influenced by the Mayavad philosophy. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he used to quote this song, he used to say that you all are saying that Nirakar Tomara Charana Dekhi. So what is Nirakar? Nirakar means formless. You know, again, you know, we see that when we hear words like formless, or we hear words like Abhyakta. You know, Abhyakta is also used many times by these Mayavadis. Or even Krishna says, but Krishna is explaining the source of the Abhyakta. But when we say something Abhyakta or formless, the root word is form or Vyakta, no? So then, you know, that it has come from the word form. So the concept of formless comes from form. So then how you all are denying there is a form, when the concept of formless only has come from the word form? Or how you all are denying there is a vyakti or personality, when the concept of avyakta comes from vyakta, which is a person? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was explaining. He was saying that we all are saying nirakar, nirakar. Nirakar means no car, no form. So then how can he have charan? Nirakar komar charan dekhi. And if he has charan, then how can he be nirakar? So that means he has a form, no? So like that, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur always used to challenge all these Mayavadis. And we see, even though the originator of this whole Mayavad philosophy, now who was the originator of the whole Mayavad philosophy? Yes?
Shankaracharya.
Very nice, well done. So Shankaracharya is the originator of the whole Mayavad philosophy, and Srila Prabhupada always used to call him as a covered personalist. So Shankaracharya, there is, you know, a nice description in the Srimad Bhagavatam 4th canto 2nd chapter 28th verse, where it is quoted from the Padma Purana that Mayavad Asat Shastram. So Lord Shiva is talking to Parvati, and Lord Shiva is telling Parvati that on the order of the Lord, of Lord Krishna, he has ordered me to go into the material world and to preach this Mayavad philosophy. And why did Lord Krishna give this order to Shankaracharya? So first of all, Shankaracharya is obviously an incarnation of Lord Shiva. And we know Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. He is the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna. So he is ready to serve Lord Krishna in any capacity which the Lord asks him to do. So although, you know, Mayavad philosophy is obviously completely bogus philosophy, but just because it is the order of Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva was ready to take up that service on the request of Lord Krishna. So therefore he came down as Shankaracharya and he preached this Mayavad philosophy. So the whole aim of, you know, Shankaracharya preaching this Mayavad philosophy was to keep the Vaishnava path or Vaishnavism very pristine. Because there were so many people, there were so many people who were all, you know, hotchpotch and bogus in their mind. They were thinking like Krishna is, you know, the Lord is formless and all that. So Lord Shiva or Shankaracharya wanted to keep all of them away so that they don't come and contaminate or pollute the pristine path of Vaishnavism. And therefore he gave them this whole philosophy, so they are busy following this philosophy. In fact, Amogh Leela Prabhu was mentioning in a lecture, we were discussing this in a Bhakti Shastri class. He was saying that when Shankaracharya's mother was about to pass away, you know, he sent all his disciples out. Shankaracharya sent all his disciples out. He closed the doors and he was continuously chanting the names of Lord Krishna to his mother. And we know he has written the famous song Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam. So he is telling everyone, he is a covered personalist like Srila Prabhupada says, but his followers are not ready to follow all these things. His followers are continuously harping that, you know, I am God, you are God, Krishna, Rama, all of them are just different forms of Maya and like us, and one day we will realize that we are God. But Shankaracharya's aim was not that. So he gave this philosophy so that people are busy and they don't come and pollute Vaishnavism. They allow the Vaishnavas to, you know, nicely perform their personalist worship. That was the whole aim or purpose of this Mayavad philosophy getting started. So we see over here, just to conclude the class, we see over here that Srila Prabhupada is stressing how Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes. Again and again he is talking that Lord Krishna is, in fact Srila Prabhupada is explaining over here in the second line itself, this cosmic manifestation is a mixture of matter and spirit, but the cause is Supreme Brahman. So like we, you know, take the example, for example, a plastic container. So we see a plastic container and we keep going backwards to see where it has come from. So obviously a plastic container has come from polymer, which is the raw material from which it is comes. That has come from resin. And that resin has then come from petrochemicals, if we go back. And the petrochemical have come from? Correct. Very nice. Very nice, Karan. So the petrochemicals have come from oil, natural gas, which have come from the earth. So like we were saying, Prabhupada says that even fragrances, any fragrances that are there in this world, they are all from the earth. So we see so many expensive perfumes in the market. You know, all these branded perfumes we see and, you know, different fragrances. But all these fragrances have come from the earth. And it is explained that these fragrances which are there in the earth, like, you know, the same earth we get rose flower, the same earth we get jasmine. From the same earth we get mango, from the same earth we get custard apple or apple. Everything has a unique fragrance to it. Rose fragrance is separate from a mogra fragrance, or mango fragrance is separate from a, you know, different to the apple fragrance. So all these fragrances, it is explained that these fragrances come because the earth derives this power to give fragrances because of the Abhishek water, which is washing Lord Krishna's feet and entering into the earth. That is what Acharya has explained. That the Abhishek water which is entering in the earth gives this, you know, earth to have the power to give these different fragrances. So the fragrances are nothing. Again, you know, Srila Prabhupada likes to take us back. Who is the cause of all causes? Who is the cause of all causes? And the cause is ultimately Lord Krishna. So that is how all these fragrances have come. So Prabhupada keeps stressing, especially in the Bhagavad Gita we see, or you know, in his early books, when he was trying to preach to the scientists and all, who claim that matter comes from matter, or everything is, you know, a chemical combination, and that is how things have got manifested in this world. So Prabhupada continuously harps or continuously stresses this point that matter can never come from matter. Matter always comes from spirit. In fact, spirit also comes from spirit. So we are spirit souls, but for our source is also the supreme spirit soul. And definitely matter has never come from matter. For matter also there is a spirit required behind it. Like Prabhupada says that the ultimate cause is Brahman, from whom Pradhan came, from whom Mahatattva came. But this Brahman is nothing but the effulgence of Lord Krishna. So very early, that is why Prabhupada had written a book called Life Comes From Life. Because Prabhupada wanted to completely stress this point that life does not come from matter. The cause of spirit is spirit, and the cause of matter is also spirit. And who is the spirit? The cause of all causes is none other than Lord Krishna. And that is what we are seeing over here, that Prabhupada is trying to stress how Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is trying to refute the Mayavad philosophy by saying that, you know, these people are less intelligent who don't realize that even though there is Brahman is the source of Brahman is a person. Therefore, if we see, Brahman is Sat Chit Ananda. It is eternity, bliss and knowledge. And what is Lord Krishna? So if we take a step back and we see, who is Bhagavan? Bhagavan is Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. So he is also eternity, bliss and knowledge, but again the word Vigraha is there. And the word Vigraha means form or deity. So Sat Chit Ananda comes from Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. So again the Brahman has also come, or even though it is Sat Chit Ananda, its cause is Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha, who is none other than Lord Krishna. And that is what Srila Prabhupada and, you know, Jhadbharat are trying to explain to Maharaj Bhavaguna and to all of us in this material world. So we'll end the class here. And any comments, questions, corrections? Yes. Yes.
I want to go back to your analogy that Devaruta Maharaj had about unity, producing so many volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita in just 3 months. So I was fortunate enough to work with Kirti and Ram, who were part of the painting team.
Really?
If so nice to have that. I can describe. They actually work 24 hours a day.
Okay.
You have a shift on one painting, and there was a team of painters completing the one painting. So the painting would be actually being worked on for 24 hours a day. And that's how they did it in the film material section. So I just wanted to add.
Thank you so much, Mataji. We didn't realize you are also part of that transcendental team. Thanks, Mataji.
Thank you.
Worship Krishna, who is so big. So Krishna is very merciful, Even though he's big, his spiritual energy is so huge, which is the whole spiritual sky, and all the material universes are coming from that. But because Krishna is a person, like I was saying, no, he's Satchidananda Vigraha, he's a person who has a form. He also likes to have relationship with his devotees. So therefore he takes, you know, Prabhupada says he assumes this human form just so that we can develop a relationship with him. So in his human form, when he comes to this earth, I'm sure you have read lots of Krishna book, pastimes and all. Doesn't he come like a little baby who Mother Yashoda wants to protect and all? So Krishna takes all these, you know, different forms in his human pastimes on the earth planet mainly so that we can render service to him. He comes to attract us to his service through his different activities, whether it's childhood pastimes, Poganda pastimes, Kaishora pastimes, that is all to attract us. So he, you know, even though he's huge and big, he takes this little form so that we can have service to him. So that is how we can serve him. Any other comments, questions, corrections? Thank you very much. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Nitai Goswami.